are now listening to Metaquiasin on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland.
Yes. Click my mic on there, Eugene.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, I'm here too.
Hey, cool.
Ladies and gents, listeners, thanks for being with us another Thursday afternoon.
Indeed.
And I'm not seeing
myself on
there.
The...
we go.
Oh, hey.
That
now.
Helps things out a little bit.
Okay. Hello again, KBOO listeners.
Hello
this is
again.
David Liberty with Eugene Johnson. We are here in the studio of KBOO, the air room.
Woohoo!
Playing the music you want to hear, talking about some current events and news from Indian country. And we've hugely have poetry from Eugene.
And basically, we're going to shoot from the mouth today. So.
That's right, because we don't have a lot prepared, but...
Yeah.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, in the next show, in 2 weeks, we will be doing a program about adoption. I haven't had a chance to talk with you about that yet.
Oh, good idea.
But there are a lot of Native American adoptees out there who have gone through all sorts of very unique Indian experiences as adoptees. And I became good friends with one recently.
Yeah.
And who lives on the East Coast. Good friends via my blog. And so I talked to her, and she gave me a couple of people to talk to, and I'm going to get in contact with them as well, and we're going to have a little discussion about what's gone on for Native adoptees that have been forced or otherwise adopted and what their life is like, because these are things people need to know, and it's a very Indian experience, And also, go ahead.
One of the good books I read that talked about the issue of adoption from... Well, it's fiction. Sherman Alexie's book, what's it called? That one about the guy in Seattle, the serial killer.
Oh, Indian Killer.
Indian Killer.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was about... And probably his experience getting taken from his mother at birth and flown to a new country and taken in by a new family that has no idea about his cultural heritage or his history and raises him as a non-Indian... And it's tough for I know other people, real people, who have gone through that. One kid I knew had joined the Marines before he found out he was a Native American. And it was only guys in his platoon that said, yeah, hey, what tribe are you from? And he had no idea so he would say Cherokee just because he knew that was a tribe. And it's really easy to be affiliated with the Cherokee, but... It took him a long time and a lot of research to find out that he was Hopi and to learn about his family, you know, when he was 25, almost 30 years old, before he even knew what tribe he was a member of. So it's really unfortunate when people get adopted out in that case and they learn nothing about their culture.
Yep. And so that's the type of programming we will have for you in 2 weeks. So mark your calendars, keep your ear out and
all
that.
Sounds good.
And also, like I said, you know, and like the title of my book, Tremble in Fear Before the Soft Pudgy Indian, I just have to say that many things that I will say to you can be very uncomfortable, very disconcerting, very horrifying. I mean, we talk about rape. We talk about rape by contractors in Abu Ghraib. We talk about rape by priests in the United States and all over the world. We talk about genocide and all sorts of horrible things, but I don't tell you these things, folks, because I want to take away your dance. I want you to dance. I want you to live your life in a good way. I tell you these things because they are happening, and I want those things to stop. I want those things to stop now. I don't want them to stop tomorrow. I want them to stop right now, and that's why I always bring these things up to you, folks. And with that, do you got any more to say, or...
Good, Eugene. People have been missing out on the education they could be getting here in America because all they listen to is the public school system and network news.
Yep.
So
faux news, as it were.
We just, again, need to thank KBOO for providing us this opportunity, and without them, we couldn't do it.
Yep, and indeed, we are having Pledge Drive starting, I believe, March 22nd. I will find.
Oh, that's right.
I will find the information during these next couple of songs here. But hey, you know, speaking of dancing, why don't you get up and dance? You ready?
Sounds good. Let's go.
Let's go.
I think most black people in general are really not interested in dialogue at this point from white people. I think most black people see dialogue or the request of white people for dialogue as being basically analogous to stalling. Okay, stalling for time, like they say in the hostage dramas. I think what most black people would be, and hostage is not an inappropriate term here. I think what most black people would like from white people is some kind of action. Now you can do it while you talk to us. You can say, I am reaching for my license. You can do that if you'd like, okay? Or you can just be quiet. I think what most black people, what most people from the Seneca Nation, what most people from the Mohawk Nation would like is some activity, massive amounts of it.
It is through action or non-action that we allow things to happen. We must put an end to the idea of allowing things to continue and not taking responsibility.
Tornate, e chatam.
The ultimate stand is your commitment to do something with your life that will make a difference.
Negotiation. It was humiliation and domination. I got it. I know where you're coming from. I feel oppressed, too. I wait in line, you know, at the bank. I hate it. And someone took my parking spot, too. I know that's just like your land. I understand, Red. It's cool. Skin. Skin, right? That's what you call each other. Skin. I got it. I'm in there. Skin.
Anybody who isn't white and doesn't subscribe to European cultural values is automatically assumed to be inferior. Our lives are somehow less valuable. So it's acceptable to allow the army and the SQ to terrorize Indian people at Oka and for cops to gun down innocent black people in the streets.
I went to see my mentor. I went to see my mentor. He said, "Don't
few moments that we have left, we wanna have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me, us. We wanna talk right down to earth, in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The last thing the Canadian government wants to see is black and native people asserting themselves and standing up for their rights together.
We have our common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. But once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common.
Life is good.
That's right. Don't mind our sound effects.
Okay.
We're just having fun here.
Yes, we are.
K-Boo.
And The first song that you heard was from a CD by a group called The Fire This Time. And the CD itself is called Dancing on John Wayne's Head. And the song number one, which is Basslines and Ballistics. You know, folks, we all got to stand together in this struggle. We have to stand up together and do what we need to do in order to bring about the change we need to bring about. And you can do it. Yeah. Don't underestimate your own power as a human being to do something about this stuff. You can, and I know you will, because you're good people. So thank you.
Well, John Wayne, I always use him as an argument for when the issue of the word squaw comes up. You know, it's the word squaw demeaning. And I ask people, how many times do you remember John Wayne ever using that word as a term of endearment? Yeah, never. So people really confuse this issue of squaw and what it means, and that it's just the name for women and something. If it were just the name for women, then it wouldn't have been used so derogatorily all these years by everybody who's used the term. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine anybody in their right mind saying that squaw is a term of endearment.
Yeah, certainly no Indians that I know.
Yeah. Now, Indian woman, that would be a much better term to use.
Indeed.
So we're going to play some Indian women music, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Got a couple of very important women songs. I'd like to dedicate them to the first one, especially to Leanne, who does the announcements for the show. Hi, Leanne. Thank you for all your work for us.
Yes, thank you, Leanne.
And we'll be reading the announcements she got for us a little bit later in the program. And also for Julie, who's on her way home from Idaho. Hi, Julie. Are you listening in? I don't know. Hopefully you hope. Drive safe. Be happy. Also to my friend Cynthia and down in Silverton. Hi, Cynthia. Hope you're listening.
Hi, Cynthia.
And to Native women in general, and women in general, I dedicate these next two songs.
All right.
Here we go.
Realize that women who are involved in the political struggle also have a struggle to face against you, because very often you haven't realized that there are many levels of the struggle. The struggle starts with yourselves, and the struggle starts with all of us. And part of the thing that we're always facing is trying to understand how to liberate ourselves within the context of a racist, misogynist society. And while we can feel a lot of solidarity with all of our brothers of color, the misogyny is perpetuated by you just as well as it is by the racist society.
Slavery is like going into the armed forces, if you like. The whole initial objective was to break us as we would accept whatever was going for us. And we managed to hold on to some things, and we're very proud of those things. I think that had we not become malleable, we would not, perhaps would not have been able to survive on this continent. So that's the upside. The downside is, though, that part of that malleability was our conforming to the Moors and the points of view and the hierarchical concerns and the social structures of our masters, of the people who owned us. And the end result, in my view, is that we have adopted much more of their philosophy than we are required to. You can't live with masters without becoming like them. And we have to ferret out that portion of being like the masters that we are not happy with and not comfortable with and see as detrimental to us as a community and move to change those things. And it will not be easy, but it certainly seems to me it's probably worth the effort.
What makes it really terrifying is that with all this focus on the power of white men that men of color have, there is an obsession to get that power, that white male power. With all that focus, what happens when and if they get that power? What happens to the women? It's not going to be a pretty picture. So what needs to happen is there needs to be new ways of looking at power rather than just focusing on white male power.
Más graves para las mujeres de color yace en el hecho de ver a nuestros hombres frustrados con el poder blanco dominante tomando represalias contra nosotras, así sometiéndonos al más bajo escalón en la escala de dominación. El asunto debe ser enfocado en comprender y rebelarse contra la forma en general toma el poder establecido y rebelarse contra estas formas de dominación.
To be carried quaintly on a board or lost to welfare. I have no feelings. The sinuous planes of my brown body carries no hint of the need to be caressed, desired, loved. Its only use to be raped, beaten, and bludgeoned in some B-grade Western. I have no beauty. The lines cut deep into my aged face are not from bitterness or despair at seeing my clan destroyed one by one. They are here to be painted or photographed, sold, and hung on lawyers' walls. I have no emotions. The husky laughter, a brush of wings behind eyes soft and searching, lightly touching others, is not from caring, but from the ravaged beat of black wings rattling against the bars of an insanity that tells me something is wrong here. Someone is lying. I am an Indian woman. Where I walk, beauty surrounds me. Grasses bend and blossom over valleys and hills, vast and multicolored in star quilt glory. I am the keeper of generations. I caress the lover gently, croon as I wrap the baby. With quietness, I talk to the old ones and carefully lay to rest loved ones. I am the strength of nations. I sing to the whispering autumn winds. In the snow, I dance slowly, filling my body with power, feeling it, knowing it. I am the giver of life to whole tribes. I carry the seeds carefully through dangerous wastelands, give them life scattered among cold and towering concrete, watch them grow battered and crippled under all the lies. I teach them the song. I help them to hear. I give them truth. I am a sacred trust. I am Indian woman.
Women should rule the world, in my opinion.
That's a good idea.
We men, look what we've done to this world. Look what we've done to it, and it's not going to be good for future generations to come. And women, except women like Madeleine Albright and Margaret Thatcher and Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Eugene.
Yeah, so, you know, but that female energy needs to be there. That female energy, that woman energy needs to bring about balance to this world before we can actually have the type of world that we really need. We have to really look at these things, because misogyny is rampant throughout all communities. All communities. All oppressed communities oppress their women. And all oppressor communities oppress their women.
Yeah, it was Yoko Ono who said, "Woman is the nigger of the world."
Oh, man. Wow. Those are powerful words.
Yeah. But you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Announce the songs here. The first song we heard was from The Fire This Time, from the CD Dancing on John Wayne's Head, and it's called New Ways of Looking at Power. Beautiful, beautiful song. And we also heard Jeanette Armstrong from the CD Till the Bars Break, a compilation Canadian and African-Canadian peoples. And the song was Indian Woman, another very, very powerful song. A song, again, I send out to all the Indian women out there and to women in general, because we need you to rule the world, I tell you.
Yeah, speaking of Indian women, Eugene, I heard news about Erigan Starr, our favorite diva.
Yeah, who was supposed to have us on her video.
That's
that she never came up to
she
do
never
back
came
in
back in
September, October, whatever.
We're going to have to hold her to that one.
Yes.
We still love her, though, Arrigan.
Yes, we do.
We forgive you.
Yeah, but we are going to pinch you the next time we see you.
That's right. Arrigan has a new show that she is, a one-woman theater production called The Red Road.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and Arrigan is going to be opening March 30th at the Autry Performing Center in Los Angeles. Gene Autry has a big theater. Well, it was dedicated to him. It's not his.
I was going to say, I thought he had a horse.
Because he was such a big rough-riding cowboy that they honored Gene Autry with this theater. And Arrigan will be performing for a month. Her show will run March 30th till April 30th at the Wells Fargo Theater at the Autry National Center, which I don't have an address for, but it's in L.A., so... She hopes to be going on a world tour with her one-woman show.
Woohoo!
And if so, she better put Portland on the agenda there and get up
yes,
here.
Yes, she better.
Keep her Portland fans happy by doing the show here in Portland.
Indeed, Arrigan.
And the reviews were pretty good. They said it was hilarious and that Arrigan does a great job because she has to play every part, about a dozen parts.
And she's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
She's so funny hilarious. And charming and wonderful and...
So talented.
Absolutely.
She wrote this play, and she wrote the songs that they do in the play, so it's all her show. It's great that she has so much talent that it just bubbles over, and now she's going out on the road with it.
Yep, and we get blessed.
Yeah, and besides all the music that she does, to be an acting and actress and be writing plays and stuff, it's just incredible that all that talent that girl has.
Indeed it is.
So we're going to have to play an Arrigan Star song here, Eugene, I think, since we...
Yep.
And then we brought up Arrigan.
Yep. And so we're going to go with Monsters of the World Unite from Meet the Diva. Here we go.
All right.
Come on, everybody!
That was a good finish.
Woohoo! Ah!
See, I can do that. I'm going to have to get on Arrogant's next CD.
Yeah, we love Arrogant Star. We love you, Arrogant.
I'll sing backup for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could back up a truck for her. I don't know if I could sing backup for
her. There's something to be said for that. Not everybody can back the truck up.
Well, it's 2:07, and we didn't announce at 2 o'clock that you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. And this is Mataqui Austin, and today we are basically shooting from the lip. In 2 weeks, we will be doing a program about adoption in Indian country, forest adoptions, and otherwise, all the way around, mostly dealing with the perspective of life through the eyes of a person who is an indigenous person adopted out of their own societies.
Yeah, good topic. Good
indeed.
Idea.
Indeed.
Something we should have covered a long
yes.
time ago.
My daughter is adopted, and she is within family. She is my third cousin, and she is a member of the Siletz as well, and Blackfoot.
Uh-huh.
And with that, that was Monsters of the World Unite by Arrogant Star.
The Diva.
The Diva. We'll play another one from her later.
Yeah.
And she does some great stuff. She's really, really awesome.
And just to remind people, the name of her show, her one-woman show, is The Red Road.
Yep.
If you get a chance, you're down in L.A. next month, check it out.
Yeah, I have the single of that, but I have it at home. A lot of good that does here,
oh,
huh, folks? I know, spank
darn.
Me. Spank me.
That's okay. You weren't ready.
No.
You didn't know I was going to talk about Arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time we'll plan this show.
Well, at least we have a plan for 2 weeks here.
That's right.
And we have a few announcements here. The Native American Youth and Elders Council will host a community forum on Native American unity and community advocacy. The event takes place this Saturday, March 4th, from 2 to 6 p.m. at PSU, Native American Student and Community Center at 710 Southwest Jackson. This forum is open to all ages and will feature special guests Ben Sherman and Juan Sepulveda, plus free raffles and killer Indian tacos by Tana Sanchez. And she makes some of the best fry bread, folks.
Mm.
She really does. Really awesome stuff. We also have an announcement of a march for the respect of all workers. No human being is illegal. It's a march against the Sensenbrenner Bill, a piece of anti-immigrant legislation that passed the House on December 16, 2005. Now it goes to the Senate for approval in March. It could pass in its entirety, or parts of it could be introduced in other anti-immigrant bills. If this bill passes in the Senate, it will become the most inhumane immigration law the U.S. has seen in the past 70 years. It will affect all Americans, immigrants, and U.S. citizens alike. Because basically what this bill says, from what I've been hearing on KABU, I haven't really read about it yet, is that even if you help an immigrant, if you're a doctor and there's an illegal immigrant that comes to you and needs your help, and you help that person, you are now eligible to go to prison. If you give a illegal worker money on the side of the street, you could now be eligible for prison. Isn't that great? More reasons to stick people in prison.
In South Dakota, if you give a woman an abortion, you will get thrown in prison.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's recently
yes.
in the news. It's
yeah, that's right.
Mad about.
Oh, man.
They could do that. Make even in the case of rape and incest, abortion is illegal in South Dakota.
And as I will bring up again, folks, historically, infanticide has been completely legal in pretty much all societies, especially Christian society. Infanticide, which means to kill a baby when their times are so hard that you can barely feed the mouths you have, was completely legal. It was considered humane. So and also, I would like to bring out a point about these alleged pro-lifers. They are not pro-life. At best, as Jim Craven would say if he were here, they are pro-birth. They don't care about life. If they cared about life, they would be doing something about the Iraqi children dying. They would be doing something about the children here suffering. They would be doing something about the education problems we are having now because of this current administration. They would be doing things to help the children here that are alive now. They would be doing things to help have socialized daycare, socialized health care for those children to take care of them so their parents could work and to help support them. But they don't. They don't care. They don't care about these children. All they want to make sure is that they have more cannon fodder to throw out in another war as soon as we make up lies and excuses to go into Iran or Syria or wherever else we're going to go kill more people at. And we need more people to do that. So basically, you got to have a large populace in which to throw a lot of death into when death makes you a lot of money.
Did you see that bumper sticker? Mm. Look, Ma, another pro-lifer for war.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
I saw a great bumper sticker this morning that said stupid should hurt.
Yeah, it should. It should. And another thing, too, is men do not have the right to say anything over what a woman does with her body. We don't. As well, it is a woman's choice what she does. If she knows that she won't be able to bring that child up in a healthy environment, then it is up to her. It is up to her. It is a human right. We have no right to take that away from a woman. None. And, okay.
Okay. Well, I got some other announcements too, Eugene.
Okay, I have one more too. So go
tell people about the Covington Middle School powwow that's going on this weekend.
Woohoo! Powwow!
Powwow in Vancouver, Washington.
More fry bread! More fry bread!
The Covington Middle School, and I forgot to write down their address, but you can, if you got email or any phone book, you can find Covington in there and get more details. But I know that they're actually having the powwow Friday night, Saturday all day, and Sunday afternoon.
Cool.
So, yeah, they're doing the full weekend powwow there at the middle school. It's gotten bigger.
Woohoo!
So good for them. Yeah, if you're looking for a powwow, listen to some drumming or do some dancing, go to Covington Middle School in Vancouver this weekend.
Fry bread. Fry bread.
Fry bread.
You know you want it. Yeah, I know you want it. Fry bread.
And lots of interesting people to meet.
Indeed.
So
lots of good stuff to buy. Get out there and support everybody. Go ahead.
Only other announcement I have, Eugene, is the ACES Regional Conference is coming up. That's the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. I was a former member when I was in college. They are having the regional meeting, which takes in the Northwest, Montana, Alaska, I think. And it will be happening at Portland State University next Friday and Saturday, March 10th and 11th. And for more information, contact the PSU NASU Native American Student Union Association, whose I apologize again for not having that contact information, but
well, we could.
If you didn't know, you know more now than you did before I said it. You may not know it all, but you know some of it.
Now you know something.
Yeah.
I have one other announcement. There will be a Battle of the Bands at Milwaukee High School March 3rd, tomorrow, at 6:30 p.m. And it's a benefit for... Okay, I think it was a benefit for the food bank, but I'm not really sure. I don't see that. And I know it's a benefit concert.
Yeah.
So anyways.
It's going to benefit somebody.
Yeah, it's going to benefit somebody. And the bands that are going to be playing are Handsome Rob and the Half Racks, Hammered Grunts. I like that name. Noise Pollution. I like that name, too. Undead Epidemic, Synthesia, the Neutrinos, the Altar Boys, Lunar Active. So get down there and hear some good music and Battle of the Band stuff.
All right. When was that again?
Tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at Milwaukee High School, which is 11300 Southeast 23rd Avenue, Milwaukee, Oregon.
So you have your choice. You can go to the Battle of the Bands. You can go to Covington Middle School.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff going on.
Indeed.
Yeah, the only other thing I had, Eugene, was a bumper sticker I saw. I'm really on to bumper stickers today. Here's my third bumper sticker of the day.
Let's hear it.
Biodiesel. No war required.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to see more people converting over to biodiesel now. It's going to become more readily available.
My work truck. Been.
It runs on biodiesel?
Yep.
And is it easy to get?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a card place that we go to, and they have it at every station that I've seen.
Yeah.
As far as the card lock places, yeah.
And what about the price? Does it tell the price?
No.
Card doesn't do that at card lock places.
No, they just,
But I guess it's supposed to be competitive.
Cool.
And, of course, one of the good things about it is we're not burning Iraqi oil when we're burning biodiesel.
Yep.
Remember, if you ride alone, you're riding with Osama.
Osama who?
Osama bin Forgotten. Yeah. That's who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Osama and GW.
Yeah. What a pair. So somebody remind GW that Osama is alive, would you? As I recall, he promised to get him dead or alive years ago. You know, this war that we're in has actually lasted longer than World War II.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Bush also said that he didn't know anything about the levee problems with Katrina and New Orleans.
He lied.
Either prior to the levees breaking. He was actually told 2 days before.
Yes.
And is anybody going to do anything about this? Is anybody going to stand up and say, hey, we should impeach this worthless sack of crap, this heartless, horrible, rotten, mean, cruel, can't call him a bastard.
Money grubber.
Money grubber, greedy, rotten SOB. And he should be impeached. He should be tried. When found guilty, he should be punished.
He and all his cronies that work with him.
And my idea, my wonderful idea for punishment for these people, and it doesn't require killing them at all, you strip them completely naked, take all of their wealth after they're found guilty, all of their wealth to give to the people, all of it, houses all the way down to the last envelope and stamp they have in their house, every single bit of it no longer belongs to them. And then you kick their ass out in the street. There they go. They can start their new life as a new American.
You'd have to rely on quail hunting to survive.
Well, we'll have to make sure Cheney doesn't get a shotgun.
That's right. Take all their guns away from them.
Indeed.
Jeez.
Anyways, I have a poem here to read. Did you have anything else?
All right. Go for it.
Moment? Okay, I'm going to read this poem and then play a couple songs afterwards. I wrote this yesterday. And it's called Beautiful Morning. It is a beautiful morning. It is a great morning to view the city and see its beauty. It is a dark, gray, cloudy day with spots of clearing. This is the perfect sky to view the odd beauty of the city. I particularly like the view of the Embassy Suites building from Burnside as I head to the bridge on another day's journey. Same as yesterday, but never the same. The building's three sections reach into the gray sky like they are in a painting that represents the triple goddess. The lights shine the beige bricks that must have been laid by skilled hands. I admire her architecture, and in the dark gray sky, she is beautiful. I have no desire to stay there, though my daughter says she wants to. Someday. And then, I think, this building is on my land. And these guys aren't paying me rent, or anybody who looks like me either, and I can't evict them. I have no say over what they do on my land, and they don't even acknowledge that it belongs to me, and many people who look like me. I gaze across our Burnside Bridge to see the twin glass spires of the convention center tickle the sky with his mighty erections of green, shiny glass. The south section of the convention center has an odd glass wedge atop it, like a glass giant dropped a giant glass cheese wedge. There are three business buildings in their cluster, friends to the spires and wedges, and the dark gray clouds reach over them like they are being cuddled in their soft, puffy arms, and they are beautiful as they shine. And then there is the funny-looking state building and another cluster, and they too are beautiful against the gray morning sky. And ain't none of them paying me rent either. I gaze into the eastern horizon and see, and she is beautiful. The clouds have opened up, and the sun is again pulling the world in another complete circle, another revolution. The seagulls can be heard barely above the light traffic from this time of morning. There are beautiful gray forms against the backdrop of beautiful gray clouds. Our river, she is beautiful. Her waters reflect the clouds and shining horizon as the sun reaches for us to say good morning once again. And our sister, the river, she reflects them like a painting. And I see clouds and light shades of red, faint and distant on the horizon, some dusty brown, a mysterious, bright, orangey red cloud, tiny on the horizon. I see a star in the eastern sky, and she is beautiful and is reflected in the wavy, oblong length of light on our sister, the river. I hear geese honk to my left and behind me. I spin and watch seven of the wonderful creatures fly over the bridge. First, a cluster of three, and right behind them, a cluster of four. And they greet the morning with flight and song, and I am so happy, I am so happy. My heart is dancing with joy. I can't help but smile broadly. I turn and see a woman jogging with her dog, and I can tell her heart is lightened by my smile. She smiles, and we greet each other, and ain't none of us getting our rent either. The birds aren't getting their rent. The river isn't getting her rent. The clouds and sky aren't getting their rent. The Indians aren't getting their rent. None of the people are getting their rent. Ain't none of us getting our rent. And it's past due. And it's time to collect. Here's my death song by Jim Pepper.
Hey, hey, hey. We die, we die, we die, yo. We die, we die, we die, yo. So we die, we die, we die, yo. Hey, to we die, yo. So we die, so we die, yo. You must not forget me when I'm long gone, because I love you so dearly, sugar honey. So we die, so we die, we die, yo. Hey, to we die, yo. You must not forget me when I'm long gone, because I love you so dearly, sugar honey. Do we die, do we die, we die, yo. Hey, do we die, yo. Hey, hey, do we die, we die, yo. Do we die, we die, we die, yo. Do we die, we die, we die, yo. Hey, do we die, yo. Do we die, do we die, yo. Piote, tu venda, and now I'm no hope, Piote, winda, and now I'm no hope, Piote, winda, and now I'm no hope, Yaname, Ine, Ue. Piote, tu venda, and now I'm no hope, Piote, winda, and now I'm no hope, Piote, winda, and now I'm no hope, Yaname, Ine, Ue. To walk into the east, everything is beautiful. Walk into the west, everything is beautiful. Walk into the south, everything is beautiful. Walk into the north, everything is beautiful. Yana ine uwe, yana ho, yana wana ho, yana wana ho, yana wana ho, yana ne ine uwe, yana ho, yana ne, yana wana ho, yana ne ine uwe. To which you time so give me walk, run you go run eh, yana ne no, which you time so give me walk, run you go run eh, yana ne no way, yana ho, yana ne, yana wanna ho, yana ne, ne no way. To which you time so give me walk, run you go run eh, yana ne no, which you time so give me walk. Haniko urane, haniko urane, haniko urane, uchitan to mewa, haniko urane, yana ine.
Away.
Hello again, folks.
Yeah, we're really here.
Yeah, where's my headphones?
Sorry about that.
I set them way over there. Sorry, folks.
Dead air. We know.
Yeah.
Radio and dead air is bad, but
yeah.
Suffer with us, folks.
Yes.
We got details about Covington.
Indeed we do. And Covington Middle School is at 11200 Northeast Rosewood Road. That's 11200 Northeast Rosewood Road, Vancouver, Washington. And if I remember correctly, that is close to 4th Plain and I-205. So you can give them a call. And let's see, we have Gary Wallace, who is the program manager, that you can call at 360-604-4013. Or Anna Schmassau, coordinator, 360-604-4000, extension 1261. Or you can email them at aj2feathers, aj number 2 feathers, at gmail.com.
Ah, the miracle of modern electronic technology.
Woohoo!
What would we do without it, Eugene?
Panic.
Yeah, well, for you people who don't know, all Eugene did was get the NAIA website up and gave us information about Covington. So thanks to the Native American Youth Association and their webpage.
Indeed. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good job.
And also, I was given an announcement to Clark County Historical Museum presents a lecture by Lillian Pitt, who does some awesome mask-making work.
Oh, yeah. We have one of her masks in our library.
Right on. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've seen that a few times. I like that one,
too. Yeah, Lillian's a great person.
She is. She is. Warm Springs in Yakima, sculpture artist and jewelry maker, deeply rooted, or it's called Deeply Rooted, The Art of Lillian Pitt. March 2nd, 2006 at 7 p.m.
Tonight.
Yeah.
It's tonight, folks. 7 p.m.
At the, where is it? Oh, the Clark County Historical Museum.
Oh, I think. That's in Clark County, Washington. That's probably where it is, since that's...
Yeah, which is at 1511 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington. That's 1511 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington. Or you can call 360-993-5679. Or they have a website at www.cchmuseum.org. That's cchmuseum.org.
And that's tonight, don't forget.
That's tonight.
So you're limited in your amount of time to get there.
Yep, and see some awesome work. Awesome.
She probably has a slide presentation, but to talk about her work, I would think. And I've never really heard Lillian lecture. I've just heard her talk about her art, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
So Eugene Kennewick, man, is back in the news.
He is.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
He has been getting poked and prodded more and more all the time.
Has he been arrested for impersonating Patrick Stewart yet?
It won't be long. That's the next thing they're going to do. But the whole team of PhDs went up there to do analysis of the remains. And what I heard was the first, back in September, I think, of last year, they claim they did hundreds of hours of research on these remains, which is pretty incredible. They are the most studied set of human remains ever, I'm sure, at this point. And some of the theories that they put forth about the remains were interesting. One of them said that he was buried by his people, which that was the contention initially by the archaeologists, was that he couldn't have been buried by his people. But that's been contradicted now. One of the so-called experts who did analysis on the remains said he was buried by his people, but really you don't know that unless you can excavate the actual location where the remains were found and have them in their in-situ position, which is how they came out of the bank. And they just don't have enough information to make that claim, who whether he was buried or not.
Any archaeological site report yet?
No site report.
Nothing from Mr.
As required.
Jamie Chatters, the felon who just totally messed this thing up horribly.
Yeah, whose career has just taken a gunshot up because he got promoted to a position in Seattle. I can't remember the title, but
I'd like to promote him.
He moved to Texas to get away from the controversy because he had a lot of friends down in Texas, like Rob Bonnickson. And he decided to come back up to Washington. He's working in Seattle now. But I thought it was interesting because one of the claims that the scientists made about the point that was lodged in Kennewick Man's pelvis, that it was not a cascade-type point, which they vary anyway. Chatters said it was a cascade point. So already there's disagreements between Chatters and the scientists who did the research.
Hmm.
But if you recall, Chatters' initial estimation of how old the bones were was that it was a white settler. It couldn't be more than 150 years old. So that tells you what kind of expertise Chatters has and how close his guess was, because he only missed it by, what, 9,000 years?
Yeah.
Something like that?
About, yeah.
Yeah, just a few years. So they are supposedly going to come out. They did a lecture in Seattle recently, last month, I think. And that was like a public lecture talking about the research they did and what their results were. But they are supposed to be publishing that information into a book form sometime in the near future. So I'll steal that book and we'll give you the details about what's going on and how it happened and all the theories that the scientists are putting forth now, just because they have nothing better to do.
And I like the way they just accept their theories as complete fact, you know?
Yeah.
I have a theory. I'm 6'3" and look Italian like those guys on the cover of the Indian romance
novel.
Sounds
good in theory, Eugene.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Will any of you? tonight on Faux News, 6'3" Indians who look Italian.
Come and get him.
Not with hatchets, though. Please, put the hatchets down. Okay.
Yeah, I had to say something about Kennewick Man because I've been reading more about him in the news lately, and it's pretty sad because one of the things they also say is it is highly unlikely that the tribes will ever get those remains back.
And you all do remember Jamie Chatters' science to decide that these were the remains of a white man, right?
Yeah.
That's right. He was watching Star Trek Next Generation and saw Patrick Stewart.
Uh-huh. And said, that's Kennewick Man.
Yeah. And what if he was watching the NBA and saw Shaquille O'Neal? Would Kennewick Man have been black?
Yeah, he would have been. Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess if it had been a different time of year, maybe a different TV show, if he was into something else, like sports,
yeah,
Kennewick Man would actually be a completely different race, maybe. So,
good point.
Oh, man. The guy is... I confronted him one time at the Wyden and Kennedy where he was doing his lecture on what a great guy he was.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah. Sorry.
He reminds me he kind of reminds me of Paul Watson, except not as openly arrogant as Paul Watson is.
Yeah.
Because he likes to talk a lot about himself and how great he is.
That's right.
Just like Paul Watson does.
That's right.
And he's a shame. I mean, I don't understand why the archaeological community even thinks he's like anything of anything.
Well, and it sounds like this position he's got is outside of archaeology. That's the impression I got.
Well, he doesn't got his new doctorate position in archaeology anyway. He doesn't even have a doctorate, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Paleoclimatology was his area of expertise. Ancient weather. So now he's an expert on bones. So
what do you know?
Just because he was involved in the initial investigation.
Hey.
So the Yakima tribe was trying to do some outreach. They went to the lecture and heard the scientists and saw their PowerPoint presentations, and they were not happy with what they saw. But they wanted to have a presence to remind people that you may not think that Kennewick Man is Native American. We know that he is. So it's I was glad the Yakima took the time to go up there at their own expense to hear the lecture. And really curious to see what the report will be coming out of this extensive study of the human remains of Kennewick Man. Well, I'll keep you posted, folks.
Yeah, and they don't have the site reports because still none have been posted.
No.
And so they're going to tell you they have a complete scientific idea of who and what this person was when they don't have all of the evidence. So, you know, there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We have to go to war. We have to go to war because there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I did not know that the levees would break at all before the hurricanes. I thought Louisiana would be fine.
Nobody anticipated the breach of the levees.
No, nobody.
Except Bush's chief advisors from FEMA. So what do they count? Well, they don't know.
They don't know
so
anything.
So Bush just figured he knew and better than these other guys, so...
Yep.
That's what he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Despite all evidence to the contrary. Don't believe your eyes. Believe what Bush tells you.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, folks, we need a revolution more than anything in the world right now. We need a revolution. We need to rethink, just like that song earlier, we need to rethink new ways of looking at power. We need to look at the whole world differently. And a revolutionary act in this world would actually be, in my opinion, one way would be to not kill anybody.
Because, novel idea.
Yeah, because otherwise you start to become them. And as Jim had said on this show a few times, that if in the battle against good and evil, evil will almost always win, but do not consider it a small victory that you did not become one of them. And do what you can, folks, to help the world. Do what you can to help the people around you and to dance. Don't forget to dance because we need that too.
Mm.
We need that too.
Yeah.
So.
Good words, Eugene.
Guess I'm done shooting off at the mouth for now.
Well, one revolution I'd like to see is the impeachment of George Bush.
Yeah. And like I said, I'd like to see him put on trial and when found guilty, which he would be. Stripped of all wealth, including his clothes and all possessions, and given the boot right out the courtroom door, and there he can go live on the street, he and his whole family.
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
All right. That sounds good.
Woo-hoo. Oh, and also, what was her name? Linda Berg, I think is her name. The woman who is currently, she is a VA nurse who is currently being harassed by the U.S. government because... She spoke out against the war in Iraq and against Katrina.
Oh, no. And she's an enlistee?
No. She's just a VA nurse.
Oh,
and
just
she,
a nurse. Okay.
She sent a letter out to the editor about a week after Katrina, and it got published, and she was bashing on Bush's war in Iraq and what it's doing to people because she gets to see the effects of what happens to
all the bloody
veterans
stumps
that come back. Yep. Jeez. And she sees it every day, and she sees PTSD all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so she spoke out against this horrible atrocity.
Charge her with sedition?
Yep, they did. Or they're trying to anyway. They're investigating her for that.
Yeah, because she works at a veterans hospital.
And
so
life is interesting, folks. We have to do something about this. This is not the land of freedom. Don't lie to yourself. You are not free. You are not free. Don't even begin to think you are. And we have to take our freedom. We have to take it. We need a revolution more than anything. We have to take our freedom. If you don't take it, they'll take it for you. So anyways, enough lecturing. This next piece is The Blood of My People, and then we'll play some more music and come back and say goodbye.
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
dust rising and falling across ages. The dust that is my people, that is the land, rises. A continuous red line across people, across time, is what we are. The living, pulsing, walking earth. Inside me, this collection moves, a brief shadow under the sun, lifted by air, pushed by the force of earth, circling majestically, silent. This small storm, for one intense moment, this fragile breath, lifted to whirl, to dance, to fly, the elusive magic of weightlessness, catalytic movement needed to press blood forward, a red liquid stream that draws ground upward, that shakes earth and dust to move, a long, long line before settling quietly back into soil.
This next song goes out to Cynthia. If you're listening, Cynthia, I still want to talk to you some about these people. Maybe the next conversation we have. So here we go.
When I speak.
Oops. Wrong one. Sorry. Now, here we go. Way Up in the Sky by Jim Page.
Well, it's hard times on planet Earth, hard times tonight. The money's getting funny and there ain't no end in sight. Everybody's looking for a place to on our way to a college or a convent, anything will do. But just when you start thinking that there isn't any hope, along comes a UFO to throw you all a rope and take you way up in the sky, high up in the sky. They'll carry you away, they say, way up in the sky. Astronauts see them when they're way above the stratosphere. Navy personnel when they've had a few beers. Housewives see them when they're strung out on the clothesline. Timothy Leary saw them almost all the time. And they say, come along, fly away with me. It's better than drugs and it beats TV. Way up in the sky, so high up in the sky. They'll carry you away, they say, way up in the sky. Now some say they wave as they fly around the steeple. Some have even met them, say they're real nice people. Some know them personal and wouldn't hesitate to invest in interplanetary real estate. From the Milky Way to the mighty moons of Mars, they say there's gold in them darn stars. Way up in the sky, high up in the sky, they'll carry you away, they say, way up in the sky. Jesus walks on water and he turns it into wine. They say it's coming back, but he takes his time. We've been waiting 2,000 years, he ain't shown his face. And finally someone's come along to maybe take his place and save us all before we kill. If Jesus don't do it, then the saucer people will. Away up in the sky, so high up in the sky, they'll carry you away, they say, way up in the sky. You can Scientologize if you can pay the price. And soul travel unraveled all the way to paradise. Bigfoot is helpful, but it's kind of hard to talk to. Everybody's busy, even the guru. So join the new religion, you won't even have to pray. Just wait for an object to carry you away. Away up in the sky, so high up in the sky. They'll carry you away, they say, way up in the sky.
And don't forget this, folks. And also, don't forget to dance to this next song. Here we go.
rioted in Amazon, slaughter in Brazil. If bullets don't get good PR, there's other ways to kill. Kidnap all the children, put them in a foreign system, bring them up in no man's land where no one really wants them.
Still ain't nobody paying us any damn rent.
Still stealing it.
Yep.
Every chance they get.
Yep. And yes, I do want justice, and yes, I do want it all back, and yes, I do want a revolution, and I want all of you to want it all back. And, well, you know the whole story if you've been listening to this show long enough. David's over here.
Yeah. Well, I've been here over 2 years now in this seat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. It's nice to be around and enjoy the show and contribute to the conversation. Keep our listeners informed.
Yep. And enraged.
Yes. And hopefully active politically.
Yep. As John Trudell would say, don't trust anybody who is not angry.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I heard this morning they were calling on people to make calls to their congressmen regarding food uniformity bill. Apparently they want to end all state restrictions on food safety and sanitary health and have no inspections for food, or at least no state inspectors anymore. They would have some central clearinghouse, I imagine. Is there? I haven't read the bill, but from what I've heard, it's a pretty nasty situation.
Pro-life, folks.
Yeah. Well, with fewer restrictions, the meat companies can make more credit, more money.
Yeah.
So that's,
and more people could get sick and die, and they wouldn't have to pay for it.
And that was what similar thing happened to the mining industry since Bush came into office by restricting penalties on violations of safety regulations in mines. They are not prosecuting gross errors in safety. And now it's going to take the families of the people who died in West Virginia mine. It's going to take them having to pursue it through legal means, spending millions of dollars on attorneys probably to see justice in this case.
And then there's always the possibility they won't get justice in that case either.
Oh,
thanks to GW.
Yeah, that's always possible.
Yes, he loves the people.
We're hoping that at least some justice would be served to the families of these men who died.
Yes. And there should
under
be
safety regulations that had been compromised.
And they shouldn't have to go to court.
No,
they
it shouldn't happen
to.
Immediately.
Yeah. But
it should be an investigation. And
this is America.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be an investigation into GW.
This is 2006.
Yeah, GW, you want to snoop into our backyard, right? You want to come down here and smell my underwear, basically, and David's
sure.
underwear, and
yeah.
find out what we've been eating all day and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Well, you know, and then you'd tell us, well, if you don't have anything to hide, you'd let us do it, right? Well, GW, if you don't have anything to hide, like that video you tried to hide of you finding out 2 days before the levees broke that they'd most likely break.
Oh, kind. This is
that,
the most secret administration
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, or that information like the report that guy Miller, who went to Nigeria and found out there was no yellow cake uranium going to Iraq, and
Wilson.
You were completely lying. Wilson, yeah.
Yeah,
and
another instance of
yeah.
lies by this.
Yeah, so just go ahead and open up the doors, George. What have you got to hide? Have you done something wrong? Have you done something criminal? Heck, you have, and you've even printed it in the headlines of papers everywhere, and still nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, why not just open up the doors, George? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, George.
Yeah.
Open up the doors to those vaults of secret documents. Let's see them.
Because we know you're so righteous, you've got nothing
yeah.
to hide.
Yeah, you're
you
taking my tax money.
You never make mistakes, so
yeah.
show us your perfection.
You're taking
George.
My tax money, and the troops you want me to support are coming home and having to pay their own doctor bills from getting wounded.
Oh, or paying for their helmets that were taken and broken, and their
yeah.
armor, body armor they lost. They
yeah.
have to pay for that, too, even if it's taken off their bloody stumps.
And Halliburton, Dick Cheney's former company, Dick Cheney, the good shot with the shotgun there, his former company, Halliburton, gets no-bid contracts worth millions and billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, their profits have gone up so much since this administration
yeah.
took over. It's incredible.
Isn't that great? Hey, Dick Cheney, if you don't have anything to hide, let's check out those vaults of your documents, too, huh?
Yeah, let's see
huh?
who was on that energy committee that decided our policies.
Yeah.
That's secret, too, though.
Oh, yeah. But we shouldn't have any secrets here. Slow life scum like you
oh,
and me, David.
Oh, no, we're just pro-lifers for war.
Okay,
yeah,
folks,
I don't know why they'd want to go after us when there's so many criminals they could go after.
Well, they're the criminals.
Yeah, so they got to go after the good guys.
Yeah, they got to go after the
yeah,
good guys and make sure
right.
they don't go after, we don't go after the bad guys.
That's
like
right.
I keep on encouraging you people to do, and why aren't I being tried for sedition?
Yeah, or me.
Yeah, why aren't we being investigated for sedition?
I don't know. I guess because we're not employed by the Fed, the VA, or we're not veterans, or we're
I used to work
serving.
For the BIA one time.
Yeah, I used to work for the Forest Service.
Yeah, I couldn't shred documents very well, though, so.
Hmm. Well, they've got my prints on file, so.
They have mine, too.
Hey, we're running out of time, Eugene.
Yes, we are.
Darn it, only 2 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, I was hoping
to get
more
pushed
of
out
this,
of here.
This next song in here, but I'm sure Gareth with African Dance
yeah,
Party is up next,
African
and
Dance
he's going
to
probably bring this down,
so.
And that'll be fine, because
yep.
I'll probably play it on another show.
Right.
Here we go. The Fire This Time, one more time, from Dancing on John Wayne's Head, Beyond Survival Dub, Cut 2. Here
See
we go.
Ya, K-Boo listeners.
Yep, and Pledge Drive's coming up. Don't forget, come down, volunteer.
Ah! Columbus discovered America. How the hell can man discover land when he got a brother waiting for him?
KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.